Respect is Radio, FM 104.6.
And when they said somebody was turning up from Age UK, I expected someone slightly older. And it's, you've had that a lot, haven't you?
I've had that a lot, yeah. I've had that a lot. We're not all old people who work for Age UK. There's a breadth of professionals that work there.
But that's a good thing, isn't it?
A really good thing, yeah. It's really important to have a good, diverse amount of people who work for the older people on the island.
All right. Could you just move yourself a little bit closer to the microphone? Because otherwise you sound like you're in another room.
Okay. All right. Is that better?
Yes, that's fine.
Perfect.
Callie Trott, welcome from Age UK.
Thank you for having me.
How long have you been with Age UK?
I'm very new at Age UK. I've only been there for 6 months. Age UK at the moment, they've just celebrated their 50th year anniversary. So 2023 was a big year for them, sort of looking at how they can move forward for the next 50 years. That's involved bringing in new people and sort of having a new strategic direction. So it's exciting time for Age UK, all right.
So why did they bring you in? Obviously because you're of a certain age and you're going to be able to help. It's no good having somebody that's about 105 and expect them to sort of pass on all the knowledge. Where you come in, I'm guessing, is when it comes down to the technical stuff. You're a bit of a whiz when it comes down to computers and internets and things like that.
I don't know if a whiz is the right word. I do the PR and the Marcom, so I'm sort of here to raise the brand awareness, let people know what we are doing. There's lots of things that have changed with Age UK in the years, so we have all sorts of different services that change. We're always expanding our services, and we're really on, you know, that curve of change at the moment, where we're trying to, we've had to close our doors recently. We're really looking at expanding everything, so I'm just part of that. I'm just a new member of staff to help push that forward.
When you say close the doors, you know what does that mean?
Oh, so there was a recent sort of media release a few months ago. We had to shut our reception doors because, due to funding, we had to funnel all of our income into supporting our core services, because obviously that's the most important thing that we provide, the services to older people that are helping us, you know, reach our aim of helping older people on the Isle of Wight. So we had to shut our doors to save some money on that. So now we're looking at relaunching that and doing it in a new, tactful way that we can keep all our core services going, but also welcome people back through our doors, so we can be a hub that people can come in and see what we're doing.
It's one of those things where I look at it and I think I can say what I like in a way, and I know that you've got to be very careful, but I look at it in these things and I think surely there's got to be some clever person somewhere that says, right, we can't cut that, because what that, if you cut that, that leads to so many negative things. Just say,
definitely,
for instance, you take away that ability to walk in and talk to somebody about a problem. You know, it might be internet based, it might be something else. What then happens is they probably get depressed about it, and then all of a sudden you've got this ongoing problem, and you times that by quite a lot, and all of a sudden you've got an even bigger problem that's going to cost you even more to fix. So maybe not cut it in the first place.
It was a really difficult decision. I wasn't at the charity at the time when they made it, but it was a really difficult decision for them to make. But it was the core services needed to keep going, and we've found other methods to keep in touch with older people. So we have hubs across the island, we do workshops and we do drop-in sessions, we have a hub at the hospital. But getting those doors open again on the high street is a really big aim of ours. We don't have a complete time frame for it yet, but it's the next stage of that curve of change that Age UK Isle of Wight are on.
I know we've got a lot to talk about, and I'm hoping that you're going to come back on a regular basis.
Well, perhaps, if you invite me again.
You tease. You mentioned hospital. You mentioned you've got a presence up there. So it's something I didn't know anything about. So tell me about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people aren't that aware of the hospital project that we have. So we have a team who work up within the walls of St Mary's. They integrate really well with the NHS staff and everything else that's going on there. They actively help with discharge up there. So sometimes you have people, obviously older people come in. They're being looked at for discharge, but they're not quite ready for that full care package, you know, sort of going onto a care home or having carers come at home, which is where Age UK will assist with the discharge, because they can offer that low-level support. So that can be anything from welfare checks to make sure that they're okay, direct signposting them to other services that might help them, signposting them to our own services, and it really prevents readmission as well. So if we can give them a call and make sure they're okay at home, it gives them that opportunity to say, actually, I'm really struggling. And then we can step in with something that can avoid a crisis again. So it might be that we direct them to our Just About You service, which is help at home, everything but medical and everything but personal care. So that can really help with day-to-day tasks, keep them at home, meal prep, all that area of things. It might be, as we were talking about just before we came on air, Digital Friendly Ireland, which is all about digital inclusion. When you think about doctor surgeries and stuff, so if you've got to go through an online process to see your GP, we're there to support people to get online and stay connected with those resources. So there's a whole sort of array of things that we do to just try and promote people staying independently living at home, or if they can't live independently, to support them in other areas, to just make sure they're getting the best out of later life.
Do you know, the more you think about all of this, the more of a minefield it is. And I'm just thinking of people of a certain age now, and you don't necessarily have to be like really, really old.
No.
How are they coping with the fact that, you know, years ago you used to phone up, get a doctor's appointment, go and see a doctor. Mm-hmm. That's all kind of changed now.
It has, yeah, it has definitely changed. And obviously, as you get older as well, you're more likely to need health services, because we all know sort of mobility can change as you get older. You tend to, most health conditions tend to be more prevalent as you get older. And they're the people that need to access the services, and they're having their channels of accessing it reduced significantly all the time. And we're not just working with older people. We do also, as part of that project, try and work with businesses as well, and try and sort of teach them how they can continue to include older people, and especially when, of course, things are going, it's the digital age, things are going that way. So it's kind of that balance in between of reminding people we do still have, especially on the island, we've got lots of people who are over 65. It's over a quarter of the island that are over 65, over half the island are over 50.
Well, I'm well old. Yeah. I mean, somebody said recently that, or in the last couple of years, I've said if we were a country, we'd be the oldest country in the world.
Well, we would be, and people come here to retire, so they leave their families at home, they come to retire as a couple, and then what can happen is something changes in your life. You might have your partner pass away, or your partner's got a long-term health condition that you weren't expecting, but you're almost somewhat isolated here now because you've left your family at home, which is where Age UK can offer those extra services that can support people, really. So we've got like Good Neighbour Scheme, which is a volunteer-led befriending service. We obviously fund all the admin and all that side of things. So that can help people when they're battling with isolation, or you know, they need somebody to help give them the confidence to re-engage with society. So we go at all angles, any angle we can, to try and help people just continue a happy life that everyone should be entitled to as they get older.
I mean, you just mentioned a number of things there, and I would imagine that no one thing is better or worse than the other.
No.
They're all important. The loneliness, the being on
everything,
your own.
Yeah, everything.
You know, the being able to just switch the television on.
Yeah.
And watch, because things have changed so much. I mean, you know, I mentioned earlier on about my mum not being able to watch like normal TV way that she did years ago, which you know, is a massive struggle. And we take it all for granted.
We do. And I think something we all have to remember is there's no shying from it. We're all getting older. So
all right.
But we are. I'm getting older. I might be younger than you, but I'm getting older. We're all getting older.
And I think you're assuming a lot there.
Yeah, but
I've just had a tough life.
But if you think Age UK, they support anyone over the age of 50. So anybody listening to this now, in 50 years' time, will potentially need one of our services. So it's an important thing to remember that we're all getting older, and we all want to be included in society when we're over the age of 50 and beyond. So,
do you think? I mean, I know that, you know, there are people who are talking about I'm going to try not to be political, but it's very, very difficult because of all the cutbacks. Do you think that because of, you know, things that happen now are an issue going forward for people with their mental health and so on, because they can't cope with certain things that have changed, and there's you know, they've got to rely on people to help do the most simplest of things, you know, watching the telly, sending an email, those kind of things. Is it going to have a knock-on effect? Does it have a knock-on effect already?
Well, definitely. If you don't feel included in society, that's not going to have a positive impact on your mental health at all. But not just that as well. Taking away from it just being mental health, physical health as well. So if you're not included in society, you're going to be less likely to be leaving the house. You're going to be less motivated to you know, keep up with day-to-day tasks. And all of that just has this knock-on effect. So then your physical health starts declining. And it's the whole package. You've got to look at people like really holistically. It's the whole package of everything we provide, is every area we can think of. And we want to keep expanding and tackle other issues that might crop up. But there's issues and opportunities with growing older, and that's what we want to try and promote, is that we want to promote that there's opportunities to stay as an active member of, you know, the Isle of Wight community.
I mean, I wrote some notes down and I left them over the other side of the
studio.
I
can see you looking at them.
I'm about trying to think, what did I write down? I wrote down GNS.
So that was Good Neighbour Scheme. So that's the volunteer befriending service.
How do people get involved with that?
So you can just give us a call, or you can email. We're always, and it works both ways. So obviously, our clients of that tend to be people who would like to be a little bit more, you know, feel a little bit less isolated. But it's not all about that as well. It can start with a phone call, and then we can progress people on to, you know, meeting their befriender in person. Then it might be their befriender takes them out, and that might be the first time they've been out in a year. So it works for however people want it to work. But also on the flip of that, for volunteers, that can really help. A lot of our volunteers are over 50 as well, so they're technically people that are in the demographic of being, you know, benefiting from our services. So for those people, it might be that they don't identify with feeling isolated or lonely, but they want something that helps them feel a bit more purpose in life. So the volunteering route also has benefits for your mental health as well. But it's a really, really good service. It's people give us a call, and we can see what we can try and match you with a befriender, basically.
When you say Good Neighbour Scheme, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's someone that lives next door to you.
No,
then.
Definitely not.
So it's not limiting.
Good neighbours on the island. It's a small place, isn't it?
We're yeah, all definitely. Here, so I mean, just so for instance, there's two main reasons for getting in touch with Age UK Isle of Wight today. Yeah. One would be, how can I help? And
definitely.
The other, how can you help me?
Both angles.
So let's cover them both. If you are someone that can offer some time, some advice, what's the sort of things that, I'm guessing, Good Neighbour Schemes, if you've got any technical skills.
So we have the Good Neighbour Scheme, which we've discussed a little bit. We've got Digital Friendly Island. So we're taking on volunteers that can help with those workshops. And you don't have to be a tech whiz for that. We like to have people there that, you know, we're all on a level playing ground. So the people that they're teaching technical skills to aren't intimidated. We want to have that friendly inclusivity. And actually, older people on them workshops seem to take a lot better when you stand there and go, actually, I might need a couple of minutes to work this out myself, because it makes them feel better about maybe not understanding it. And then going further afield than that, we're always taking on volunteers within, you know, infrastructure. So people in the marketing department, if people want to come out with a project. We're currently distributing hygiene packs across the island, which is they're sort of packs that support people with continence needs. So we've had a lot of funding towards that. You know, delivering those, helping us with the logistics of that. We are sort of open to volunteers with whatever you can offer us. We're happy to sort of work with you and see how you can help older people on the island as well.
Do you know, I'd love to go in and help out with something that I did for my neighbour, my old neighbour, about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. She said to me, I've got a new TV. Can you help me set it up?
Yeah.
It's not like it used to be. You would get the TV, plug the aerial in, switch it on, tune it, job done. Now you've got to sign in, you've got to create an account with Lord knows who.
And if you don't have an email address, you're at square one, aren't you? And that's normally where we start our workshops at, like those really basic level of, like, you probably are going to need an email address for everything you do. So we start from there. But we don't just offer that in workshops. We do also offer that in people's homes, because obviously some people can't get out. We go and do one-to-ones where we can help people set up their digital devices and stuff at home, which obviously is normally the first step into getting them into our sort of digital friendly program, where they might start with that. They might attend a workshop, and then when the workshop finish, they might attend our drop-in session. So trying to keep it sustainable afterwards as well. You know, you don't just have the support and then it's done. It's a continuous support that just keeps going around.
It's a real learning curve. And I mean, what's lovely is, I mean, I'm kind of switched on and aware of it. I wasn't always. as you probably weren't either.
No, the fact
that we just go along and we just accept that, oh, they'll know.
Yeah.
They'll know what to do. Oh, they've got to go online. Well, what do you mean online? Mm. And I sometimes think that maybe by talking and changing the language a little bit more and making it a little bit more understandable, you know, floppy disks and hard drives. I know those gone out of the window, but
all the abbreviations, I can't keep up with them sometimes.
Exactly. Exactly. So I mean, if you got some people that must be so scary. They must live in a scary world. And one of the biggest things is can I break it? What do I do if I push this button here?
Definitely,
what happens?
So that's normally the biggest thing. It's just giving them the confidence to know that if you press the button, you're not going to break the device, and you're not going to have accidentally sent all your money to somebody else. Or, you know, it's that kind of thing. Just giving them the confidence to know that you can play around, and if you click the wrong button, you're probably only going to have accidentally closed the web page you're on or something. But it's also giving them the real, you know, everything around scams, that real sort of knowledge around how you can be exploited online as well, just to give them the confidence to know when things look suspicious and when things don't. So it's kind of giving them the confidence, but also giving them the information they need to stay safe online.
Can I just put out a scam now that people need to be aware of?
Okay.
One, I got an email last week from an elderly gentleman, strangely enough, and it read something along the lines of, have you got 5 minutes to help me? This is an email.
Yeah.
And I messaged back and said, yeah, what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And then I got, I've had an issue with my Amazon account. Can you help me? And I thought,
scary, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's how easy it is. I deleted it and I actually sent the person a text to say that you've been hacked. You need to check it out. And then I thought to myself, you're probably well into your 80s.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to fix that? What do you do when you're in that situation when you think you've been hacked? That must be so concerning because you have no clue what you're supposed to do next.
No, definitely not.
What should they do?
So anything that seems like it could be a scam, you should just not touch it and then contact somebody to have it looked at. So I know it's easier to say sort of when you're working within a business, because we have things like you can just phish it, you can just send it off to your digital, whoever does your support. But if you're not sure of anything, you should just contact somebody and ask their opinion as well. Banks are quite good. Banks are getting really good at picking up on anything. So if you do click that link and you do go through, which happens a lot, our digital team come back from most of their workshops and are always reporting that somebody almost got scammed that they'd had met in that workshop. But banks are really good, so they do flag up now and they try and prevent you from sending it. But if it's not someone you know, just don't send them money. If it can wait, and if it is somebody that's important, they can wait and you can get some advice first. Ring us, give us a call.
That's what I wanted to say.
Give us a call.
Go on one of them courses. Yeah, absolutely.
Go on a course. Pop into one of our drop-in sessions. We do them all across the island. Just give us a call.
Go on. You say give us a call. What's the number?
01983 525 282. So that's our general inquiry line.
525 282. Right. Okay. And there's a website as well.
Yes. So www.agkiw.org.uk.
All the details are there
on all of our services. But
have we covered most things? I know we haven't talked about them in great length, because I think
there's so much to talk
about.
Pick
a topic next time.
We went quite off our sort of plan, didn't we? But it was quite nice to have a chat and explain what Isle of Wight's
it is, because I think so many people out there that will be thinking, what's the first thing? I need to hear a friendly voice talking about the issues that I've got and understand what the issues are. Just something so simple. I mean, it used to be you buy a television and it's, they say, what's your postcode, have you got a license, and that's it. Then you go home and you plug it in and that's when all the fun starts. And even if you are a techie person, you're still going to struggle with setting up a TV. So it's just one of those things that just put yourself in those scenarios. There are people out there that are struggling with those simple things.
Yeah.
They're not alone.
Yeah.
So if you are one of those people that is thinking about getting a TV soon, just think about you need to get some assistance, you need to get some help, because it's quite a complex thing.
Yeah.
But there is help at hand, and that's what's lovely. Talking to you, if I was old now, if I was struggling now, I'd be thinking, you are putting my mind at rest.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that's
what's
happening.
There are services out there for everyone, aren't there? There are services that can help, so go to AGK if you've got some questions, and if we haven't got the solution, we can direct you somewhere else. We can signpost you to the other services on the island that can help.
Okay, We come back again and we'll pick a topic and we'll stick to it.
Yes, we'll pick a topic and we'll stick to it. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Callie. And we're going to take a quick break. Before we go, did you have a question?
No questions, I don't think.
All right, okay. So you're just listening, got no question at all because he's young.
Yeah.
I mean, you got an elderly granddad.
Yeah,
you might want to ask on his behalf. Maybe next time.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the biggest issue that you have at the moment? Just going out the door. What's the biggest issue that you have?
Are we talking about AGK LOI specifically?
Yeah.
So I think specifically it's the differentiation of us and AGK National. So people on the island think that we are part of the... Well, we are. We're a brand partner. But we are completely... We self-fund. We have to raise our own funds. Every bit of money that we raise stays on the island. And AGK National are an amazing charity. They do loads of really amazing work, and of course we wouldn't have the presence that we have without them. But that's a big thing that we're tackling, because obviously people sometimes send donations to AGK National and we're supporting them on the island.
Right.
So that's our biggest tackle at the moment. The shops are incredible and everyone should definitely support the shops, but that money doesn't come to AGK Isle of Wight. And the shops are incredible, and support them. If you want to pick a charity shop, pick them. But it doesn't mean that it's supporting our services.
Again, I find it amazing what you do. I find it even more amazing that you have to self-fund. Just like the Samaritans who also
do
amazing work.
There's so many on the island that are, we have these like national names, but we are the local charity. So there's so many of us on the island that many people have this struggle, and many charities have this struggle.
And I question the fact that if we keep making these cutbacks in these things, that we're not helping people, you're just going to end up with a bigger bill, because you've got to help them now through their mental health.
Yeah.
If you don't help them now, you know, before they get to that stage.
Yeah.
Oh, I think, honestly, what you do is incredible. Thank you for coming in, and we'll see you again soon.
Yeah, see you again soon. Thank you for having me.